a couple pictures I put together just from my archives of just a couple years of just a little bit of just, you know, the years of our company. You know, gosh, who would have ever thought, you know, 20 years later, there'd be a pinball machine company that's... Let me turn the lights off over here real quick. I know, I'm sorry for the people on the other side of the room. This is the best we could do here. But, you know, we have a couple just fun slides. And these are slides, you know, Michael's really upset that I never sent these things to him for his book. I'm in a lot of the early pictures just because these are just the only pictures I had of when we started the company. We started the company actually on the 6th of November in 1986. We backdated our incorporation documents to be the 1st of November. Shelley, Gary, and I were the original three, but, you know, Mike O'Donnell and Don Thorne and many others joined quickly thereafter. Lonnie Rott was actually at IT at the time, but programmed our very first game. We had so much quiet help starting this company. There were so many people rooting for us. Ed Pellegrini was one of our original investors. Gary came and saw me after working on a Pinstar game down at Gameplan. And I was screwing around with Loch Ness Monster. Ed Sepulveda was there. Ed said today to remind Gary about the time he plugged the very first version of the Pinstar game in, and Gary turned blue, was exactly Ed's comments, because all the diodes were reversed and the game blew up. He also wanted to remind you that he was right. Your first spinners were soft wire and should have been, you know, piano spring wire. He wanted me to remind you of that also today, Gary. So Ed is still a very sound mind. It was kind of exciting, you know. Pinstar was really kind of a Flight 2000 redo. And Gary was on the hunt to start a new pinball company. And Eddie was kind of helping fund it at the very beginning. And Gary came to my house. Actually, it was like the Ron Yom Kippur. And said, hey, I've got this idea. I'm going to pay you nothing, and you can come work for me, and we'll start a company. And we started it in Gary's basement, Shelley, Gary, and I. And actually presented our first couple ideas to both, I believe, Konami was interested at the time, but probably turned us down quickly. And then Bob Lloyd came in and had the good foresight to realize he was stuck with whatever video game came from Japan and wanted to somehow have a successful pinball if maybe they didn't have a successful video game and become a big game company like Williams or Bally was at the time. So they made a commitment to start our company. And I remember doing the presentation on Gary's dining room table in his old house downtown. And we were off and running. There was a place called Saginaw Village here in Chicago. There was a building called Rego. It was like a natural gas company. It was about 1 million square feet. It was condemned. There were rats. Yes, there were. There were dead birds because Gary's daughter, that very first Saturday when we moved in, walked in and moved some drapes, and out fell this dead bird, and Aaron, who was probably all of about 9 at the time, stepped on it, and she's like, Dad, it crunched. Gary's response was, shut up and eat your Big Mac, because we had just gotten McDonald's. If anyone has ever seen Gary's table or his office, or been in his office and seen that glass table, that was his dad's dining room table. And though some of you may not be aware, one corner of it is cracked. The reason is two Jews should not be in the moving business. We dropped the damn thing, or I dropped the damn thing. Anybody ever see High Anxiety? I got it. But we had a lot of fun. I mean, we started this company. We started building. The first game was actually designed Thanksgiving Day in 1986. I was watching football on a black and white TV. Kind of came up with Laser War. It was exactly as you see it, with the exception of the entry shot being on a wire ramp, because Gary said the game was too light, needed more stuff. First time ever. Last time ever. And we started a company. And, you know, we were building these games. We were taking 8 games to the show. Anybody was there? I think only 4 of them actually made it and were working. And it was really quite remarkable, because those of you that don't know it, Pat Lawler is as fully vested in that company, in our company, as Larry DeMar is, as Ed Cibula was, as Sarah was, as Eugene Jarvis was. everybody somehow quietly came over and screwed a couple things into the wood or soldered a couple pieces of wire or filled their pockets with an extra flipper rubber or something else to somehow, you're laughing, I'm telling you guys, the pinball community is a small one, even with an upstart. And, you know, those guys are founders too, as far as I'm concerned. We did start a pinball company, and I remember going every day down there, and Gary would feed me pizza, and I hated pizza, and we work on the game. So Tim, let's move up, look around a couple of slides. That was our first replay cover. That was Acme 1987. Moving along, that was the Laser War patch that somebody ended up with this evening. I think it was Michael. That was an early conceptual drawing from KO. Just real quickly moving in. That was the first distributor meeting. That was at Laser Tag. There's Hideo Fukuda, Mr. Fukuda's nephew. Yes. Keep going. That was the very first game working at the distributor meeting, I believe. Now go forward. What's wrong with the picture, Gary? Smoking a joint, Gary. Sure, they were cigarettes, Gary. Yeah. Hey, Lou, what time is it? It's 5 o'clock sometime. Okay, next picture. That's Lou after the cigarette. Those are all the distributors looking at the game at Laser Tag the first time. We'll keep moving along. I can worry, buddy. There is Gary with Bob Lloyd. Gary probably, like, hates this moment because Gary should have been Bob's boss. I have to tell you. But Bob was actually a great guy, and he did have faith that he, not only did he have faith that we could do this, but when we got in trouble and things weren't going so well, he kept the faith. So we do, Bob was a great guy, and a great guy to work with. Pardon me? Yeah, you did okay. Next, Laser War. These are pictures from the very first game that ever went out the very first time. This was at Galileans. Next picture, Timmy. There it is. That is up, running. It's got the light. Everybody remembers that stupid spinning thing we had that looked like a little laser light show? Steve, there's an F-14. Steve, there's an F-14 there! Sorry. There it is, still going. Another one. There's kind of a blurry picture of it. But hey, it was there. It was real. Keep going, Tim. And you know, there's Richard Ditton. There's Lou. There is my daughter, Corey, who is now 20. And there is the first game being installed. Pretty amazing, crazy stuff. Next picture, there it is still at Galileans. So these are pictures nobody's ever really seen. I really was surprised as I was looking through stuff that was kind of unusual that you guys could see this 20 years ago. Keep going, Tim. And that's our first brochure. Flippers so hot they could roast walnuts. Our first mechanical design, thanks to Phil Bernstein and Claude Fernandez, had a little sleeve that would cause incredible friction, thus heating the flipper coils, and eventually that did go away. And that's actually building the games at the Acme show, so a little out of place. Gary, this is a very important picture. This is Secret Service. Now, do you see the thing in the lower right-hand corner? Do you know what that is? Tim, what number is that from there? Can you see? 004412. Gary, what is the significance of 004412? That is an evidence sticker from one of our lawsuits. The Great Pinball Wars. Okay, next one, Tim. There's Lonnie Ropp and me designing Secret Service. Actually, you know, not on CAD, with paper and stuff. Kind of, that's a Polaroid picture. Next one, Torpedo Alley, one of our next games. Gary and I. That is Phantom of the Opera. That's the Whitewood, designed by Ed Cibula, art by Paul Ferris. Okay. And there is, can we maybe move the chair real quick so it doesn't cut that out? It says, I'm Gary, welcome to Hef's party. That was when we did Playboy. What about Brandy Brown?
It's not that she had poor vocabulary, she had no vocabulary. She did not speak for the entire
You got that, folks? Okay, next, Tim. This is one of the games I really liked a lot. Time Machine really kind of got us going after Phantom of the Opera got us really rolling. Marcus Rothkranz, if anyone's ever seen Marcus, there's Marcus there next to Lonnie, there's Phyllis there, and Arnie Arstad. And I will say Arnie Arstad, if anybody ever knows Arnie or has a chance to meet Arnie, he is a true gentleman. When we had tough times, and we had one of our we knew we were going to have a layoff, Arnie took a bullet so somebody with the family didn't. And that's the kind of guy Arnie is. So we like Arnie. There's one of our early, we did actually have a couple games that made it to the top. I can't see which one that is from here. That's The Simpsons, first time, player's choice, first time we hit up the top of a poll. We got a couple more here. Timmy next. And Checkpoint. And there's a Checkpoint brochure. 4,400 Star Trek sold, and there's Timmy Seckel, and there's Ed Cibola on the left, and Jimmy Gorman there, and Harry Klein, and Christina D'Onofrio. We were in the dot matrix world at that point in time. And there's Lonnie and me. There's Harry. Harry rocks. Where's Harry? There you are, Harry. Harry was the and Harry was at that point in time helping us make sure our software was pretty stable. And then another game, I can't see what that one is from here, Jurassic Park or what?
Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars number one up on the right. And there's John Borg designing Star Wars, his very first game. That's actually a picture of the first white one. we got to go back and get a picture of Harry so he can take a picture of himself. Harry, do you want to stand next to it so we can take a picture of you standing there? No, just kidding. Wonderful. Okay, next. Okay, keep going. There's Lonnie at the trade show. That was right at the time William sued us the day before the trade show, and that is when the term multi-ball became tri-ball. Overnight. TM. And there's Star Wars or number one or Jurassic or what is it? Jurassic Park number one on the right. And there, Dennis Norman, there is Pirates of the Caribbean, just so we kind of are in a more modern age. Keep moving along, Tim. There's a fun picture. I think this was Uwe Christiansen and Jim Gorman and Shelley. This is probably, around like our 10th year or so. And that is our 10th year. That's a cake, and that's the Batman pinball, which is one of my favorite ones that Paul ever did. You know, Jack Nicholson, I see him every now and then at a Lakers game, and it's like, Jack, you still got your pinball? And he's like, yeah, I got my pinball. So that looks great. And there's Paul in the Batmobile with me. That was a really great trade show. Guys, you know what an average operator is, like a wad of keys. And Neil Falconer and I answered the same question for about 3 days. How fast that thing go? You take it out to the Bonneville Salt Flats and open it up. How fast that thing go? So that was a great trade show. I'll remember it well. Moving along. Peter McGregor Scott, Gary, remember that was at Batman Forever party. And moving along. Paul Leslie, who's the designer of that game. And there's Gary in Japan with Turtles and Batman in Chicago again. And that was at the same Batman event. And that was at Tommy. That's Mike Chevers, who was the star of the show. And Eric Winston in the far left. And that's us in New York delivering the game. And just kind of a fun Tommy brochure. And then Lethal Weapon 3, that's First White Wood. Terminator, okay? Just kidding. Look, between Steve and I, we got the biggest run ever. Sorry, Pat. Just kidding. Next. That's our 10,000th Lethal Weapon. And that was actually at the Reno Hilton at the time, or maybe it was called the MGM with a lion. We are separated by a piece of plexiglass there, Pete Gustafson. There, John Lund. Now, John was a great mechanical engineer. John, Larry, this could have saved me like 2 years of treasure hunting. John had this amazing habit, which was he would disappear every day between like around 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We never knew where he was. And one morning, I'm walking into the bathroom. And, the bathrooms, if you've been to Stern, are not exactly the prettiest thing in the world. And I hear snoring coming from the stall. So after we woke John up, we knew where to look for him in the future. Keep going. And there's Phyllis giving everybody the bird. That's the Phyllis salute. I had to put it in there because, God, I got it a lot. Hey, Phyllis, can you change that wire? Thanks, Phil. One more light bulb, Phil. Thanks, Phil. Okay. That is working on there, Sarah Cibula. And that's we were working on the, which game is this? The Joel Silver game, if you can see by the artwork on the side of the cabinet. Next. And that was the Man Magazine. Never made it. Gary and I chickened out. Gary wasn't sure it would work in Europe. And one more picture of it, kind of fun. And then kind of had a weird Rudy head. There was my son wearing it. there's something you never saw. That is the what we called it the tombstone version of the top box for Independence Day. We just kind of thought, shit, you know, pinball's in enough trouble. We put a tombstone on it. We're never going to make it. So that never happened. And there was a crash test dummies, which is another thing we kind of screwed with. That was at an expo a number of years ago. And Deathball 2000, that was great. Right before the expo, there's this stupid article in like Star Magazine, and Mike Pace sends it to me about Wonton Sutton, the Korean game designer who designed, you know, a pinball that would, all the Korean kids are playing and putting 50,000 volts through their body and dying. Gary and I are like, wow, what a great idea. So we put a couple handles on the pinball for one of the trade shows. Marcus did that in like a day. And then we faked business cards for Wonton Sutton as the new game designer at Data East, and we left them all over the place. Nobody played the game. It was sitting there for 3 days. It didn't get touched. Next. That's Bob Gale. And Bob Gale wrote Back to the Future. And Gary, I have a note for you from Bob Gale, and I'd like to read it. I've known Gary since 1990, when he and the team at Data East Pinball made a terrific machine based on the 3 Back to the Future movies. Movies which I wrote and produced. It's a pleasure to be here, at least in spirit, to honor him this evening. Based on what I know and have observed about Gary, there's a damned good reason why he is the last man standing in the pinball industry. It's simple, and here it is. Gary never sat down. When he faced incredible odds in starting the company, he didn't face them sitting down. He stood up strongly in the face of those odds. When the competition got intense, he didn't take that sitting down either. He stood his ground and fought for every inch of it. And when the various money people put the squeeze on him and his company, time and time again, he refused to sit down for that. He stood up and battled for his business and for his people, and he won. Those other guys at the other places, they sat down. Not necessarily because they wanted to, but they did. And when you're sitting down, somebody can pull that chair out from under you. But Gary never sat down. And that's why he's still standing, and he's not going anywhere except on his terms. And that's why we love the guy. Congratulations, Gary, and happy 20th. Your friend in time, Bob Gale. Okay, we have a few more pictures here. Tall, 15, first 13, ball, multi-ball. And last, and it was crazy. Baywatch, first one that went to Italy. That's the time. There's David. Yep, no, go again. There's another David. God, he looks good. There's a novelty game that never went anywhere. We never finished or got done or whatever. Alien Bowling. John Norris, his first game. We figured we'd get Johnny up there today. Next. There's Eric, there's Brian Rudolph, Rob Hurtado, a couple people from the time of our company. There is a Kabuki game being played by Mr. Nakamura. That's a quick story. He came to me for years and said, Kabuki is my dream. I have always dreamed of a Kabuki pinball machine. Nakamura is the chairman of Namco. So he sent me things to study Kabuki for 2 years, and as a gift, with Gary's help and some personal pay to Marcus, we made this gift for him, and it was the greatest pleasure of his coin-operated career. And as he retired, he took it home with him from his office in Tokyo. Tattoo assassins, move it along. Joe Balser. There's the Back to the Future game being delivered for the very first time to California with Brad Ferris starring as Marty McFly. Next, there's Bob, and there's the game. ZZ Top playing the game. Harry, what the hell does that say? Just kidding. Next to him, there's Jack Lydon, Phyllis's son. That was the first Dot Matrix animations we ever did. Jack was our very first artist. King Jack, we called him. And our first display ever was Push Start. First one. And that is the company being sold to Sega. Kind of press release. And that was a little thing we did for Jurassic Park in a trade magazine for Steven Spielberg. Probably most of you guys have never seen that. It eats quarters, too. Independence Day. We had a lot of travels together, and that's sort of the last picture of the fun times Gary and I had together. Yeah, the chicken dance, Gary. So, yes, he is. Gary, I've got a couple quick things here. Two things I'd like to give you this evening. I think I've said enough and told you guys enough about some of the fun things that we did. So I know there are lots of other things to do this evening. Though Gary does like gargling vodka, or Jay reminded me. There were also a couple other fun times where one time we were in San Antonio and Gary took like this amazing hot salsa on a chip and kind of like rubbed it in my face, and then it kind of fell on my shirt, and it literally burned a hole in my shirt. And I poured a whole pitcher of frozen margaritas into his pants. And we walked the whole way home, and you should have heard it in squish. It was like, Gary, I have two things. One thing I want to give you, this is for my wife and for my, can you come up here for a minute, please? Gary, this is a special watch, and it has two time zones, so you'll know where you are and where you're going. And it says on the back, 20-year anniversary, at East, Sega, made in Korea. I'm just kidding. Stern, Pinball, love, Joe and Kim. The other thing. I wanted to do for a very, 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 very long time. I have always, can you open that for me, Rob, to the side? Who's been in Gary's office? Anybody in here? There's lots of stuff in Gary's office, lots of things that are special. One of the things that I have always been intrigued about was the special friendship and bond that Harry and yet, monkeys throw crap at each other, Gary. I still have that, but not going there. There's this really special thing I've kind of always admired. There was a series of ads that Stern did in the 70s, and one of the ads had a picture of Harry and Sam together. It's in Gary's office. It's kind of like half Harry and half Sam. And this has been a long time coming. I said to my son, what do you think of this? He goes, Dad, it's Two-Face from Batman. Anyway, Gary, this is for your office.
That's an old picture. We both have hair.
You can get it again. Trust me. One one last thing, Gary, and I just want to say one last thing. And really for everybody in this room tonight, as you amble through life, brother, whatever may be your goal, keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. Good night, everybody.
Stuck. My favorite thing in the world is a microphone. And I'm a businessman. I make pinball machines. Actually, some of you, I'm going to digress all over the place. Some of you may know what I really do for a living. I did it tonight. Pinball machines is, you know, the product, but my job is eating. I eat for a living. I go to dinner with customers. I go to lunch with suppliers or with people I work with, whatever. I do it very well. My figure shows it. So I eat for a living. And by the way, dinner was great. Thank you very much. It's a very nice affair. Joe, of course, I love you. I do love you, Joe. Joe, you shouldn't be doing all this. Some of the things you all do with Joe's, you know, it's just. Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. You know, I got the microphone, so I'm going to do a little pitch here when I get to it. But as I look around, it's, you know, I'm, pinball machines, it's a business, mostly, or partly. I'm very taken, much more than I'm usually very nonchalant, anyway. I make light up and what have you. But this is really very nice. And some of the people I see around the room, Norm and Steve, and a slew of people who work with us. If I go around the tables here, the people who work for Stern, stand up for 1 second, because this is really, and do things for Stern that aren't employees. Stand up for 1 second and have a older daughter's bar mitzvah, she took the microphone away from me because I talked this long. That's it. Where's the hook? It's okay. It's okay. Listen, it's early. This thing usually goes to 2 or 3 in the morning. It's open. What the hell time is this set on? Is that right? What time is it?
10:35.
10:30. This is on 11:30. He's trying to speed me up. It's okay. Norm and Steve, thank you very much for being here. And for being with my father all those years. And I learned from you guys because I learned from him and you all. We do this, we make pinball machines, first and foremost, to make a living. It's capitalism at its best, if you would. You know, we're manufacturers. We employ people. Our suppliers employ people. We have a factory full of people who wouldn't have work, you know, if we weren't doing this and if you weren't playing the games, and a lot of other people were playing the games. We'll come back in a little bit to who we need the most to play the games in addition to you all. This honor is nice for me, very nice, but it's really for all these people who stood up and all the people before them. Joe was showing people pictures of people who used to be with us years ago, but they're all part of what kept this going. We don't talk about last man standing. We talk about we're the only pinball company because we're not going to quit. Last man sounds like we're about to finish. The honor for me, thank you, but it's really for all these people doing it now. People who've been with us for a lot of years. Mike's our glorified bookkeeper, when we hired him, been with us forever. Mark Schoenberg was with us before the company when he was about this tall and did what you're supposed to do in any good Japanese company, and that's make your job, and he did. If I go around here, we have people from Gottlieb, Ray Tanz, who's in the company here tonight. We have a lot of people from Williams who joined us, and just all people who want to make a living, but also have something special in them for pinball. It's a very difficult thing what we all do, and as some of you have been through the factory and seen what goes on there in the last few days, you've heard the spiel. It's the same spiel you'll hear from me all the time. Over half a mile of wire, 3,500 pieces, more man hours than the Ford Taurus used to be made near us. It is really manufacturing, and that's what we are first and foremost as manufacturers. Some friends of us from China, a company called Universal Space makes a lot of video games and redemption games for people, design their own, make them for other people. They came through the factory a year ago or so and said, can we take pictures? Take pictures, I don't care. You guys can take pictures. Take pictures. They spent, I took them on a tour. They spent another couple hours there. They came out, and these very good Chinese manufacturers looked at what these folks do, and they manage this business well. It is a manufacturing business. And they said, this is too hard. We can't do this. It's too hard. How can we do business with you? And we're trying to find a way to expand pinball to keep it going into China and Asia and what have you. But they can't make it. These people can make it. Not me. They don't let me hold tools. They don't let Joe hold tools. Don't let Jews have a tool. It doesn't matter. You know? I can hang a picture, by the way. I can't hang a picture. But it is hard what they do, and they do it very, very well. God, I'm going to talk too long. Sorry. They work hard to design games. It's about $1 million to design a pinball machine today. We have the best tech service department. The most important part of the business is to keep these things going for operators and for homeowners, for you guys, especially for operators, which we'll come back to. And we have all the business functions that you have to have in a business. You have accounting, collection, HR, personnel, funny enough, modern, I guess. HR, all these things you have to have in a factory with hundreds of people working there. And that's what we are. We design games, we make games. We do this to make a living, but also, the people you see here, they all want to preserve pinball. They want to keep pinball going. They teach you in business school, and in my undergraduate degrees in business, they teach you in business school that you're supposed to be in love with business, not with your business. We violate that rule. We're in love with our business. We're in love with pinball. But we first and foremost must run it as a business. And we must make some money, not a lot, so not your candidate. But we have to operate it as a business. We appreciate, and all these people are, they come from pinball, whether it be at Davies, Stern, Sega, Williams, Gottlieb, Bally, it's all mixed together now. It's all the same folks. Some of us have to do this, as I said, to make a living, although we want to preserve pinball. If we want to preserve pinball, if pinball goes away, it's not the end of the world. The world will survive, but a little bit of the fact of the life is gone. Of course, I need to make a living because when we started this company, there were no jobs for former presidents of pinball companies. So what else was I going to do? But I couldn't get a job. I had to find a way to start a company. I think a few of us were in that boat, Joe. we appreciate what you as enthusiasts are as part of our market. Now, here's my little pitch. I'm going to get to this in a way. You're an important part of the market, but a very small part of the market. Maybe 25% of our games new go to homeowners, and you're a little part of the homeowner business. Most of it is to 45-year-old guys plus or minus half a dozen years, who already have a pool table, want something else in their rec room, and they can convince mommy, because all decisions are made by mommy for any big ticket item. They can convince mommy the game is for the kids. And by the way, if you've got real little ones, the Zizzle game's very cool out there. Roger's a friend of ours and was very helpful for us in doing Pirates of the Caribbean. But, you know, anything that's pinball is good for us. For you. Our main business has got to be game operators. So sometimes we're designing something and you think we're nuts as enthusiasts. Why do you do this? All game design, this is where I get on my soapbox, all game design is trying to do the same thing. Broaden the player base. Joe in slot machines was able to take narrow segments because he had so many models and go to broaden the player base by going to different models. We have to take one model and try and broaden the player base, which was what he did in Pinball. So what we're doing is, it's the same thing in video game design, home game design, whatever kind of game it is. He's nodding because he does home game design, you know? Any event, he gets it. Well, he got games in his blood, what can I tell you? In England, AWPs are, Gary, 3% of the people in an English pub play the AWPs. If you can, the amusement with prizes, low stakes and low stakes out of slot machines, if you can increase that to 6%, another 3% will double your income. But you maybe get 150% of your income. But if you lose the core player, then you went negative. You went the wrong way. So you have to broaden the player base and try and keep the core player. And that's what we're trying to do. With the titles, with some rules that somebody understands, somebody being Mike and I, you know, that aren't the great players like Lyman and Keith or what have you. We need to, you know, get the player base broadened. So sometimes you don't quite understand what it is or think we're nuts or something. Sometimes you're critical of what we're doing. We don't always succeed, we don't always do it right, we do some dumb things, but that's what we're trying to do, because that's what we have to do to keep pinball to exist. Pinball will only exist, not for you all, as buyers, but for the operator, the game operator. It's got to be in the street. And we're really not an arcade business, we're really bowling alleys, bar business. Harry once said to me, high hand, the kids will love this feature. I said, Harry, that's great. But your job is to get people drunk and keep them drunk. A little tongue-in-cheek. Okay? But we need to be in the bar. So what I'm going to ask you all to do, to help pinball, now, this is my pitch part, okay? To help us, to help me be here in 10 years and 20 years from now, and to help them be here, and to help you all still having games. Because if we ever quit making pinball, which we have no intention of doing, we're not the last man standing, we're the only man, and we will continue to be the only man, as long as we keep making them. Nobody else will ever go in the pinball business. It ain't going to happen. The economics don't work, no matter what anybody wants to see happen. It ain't going to happen. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't invest the millions of dollars for the return that's in it. Billy, I'm thrilled that you're here. He's been in the pinball business. He's not going to do it. Colleagues aren't going to do it. People have tried. It ain't going to happen. We need operators to make money with pinball. So we need you to support operators. So to support the operators, what I'm going to ask you to do is not play pinball just at home. Take your group to a bowling alley, to a bar. Find a place. Tell the bar owner. Tell the restaurant owner. Tell the operator, get us a pinball machine. Get us a pinball machine with tournament on it, because our games all have tournament on it. And sometimes get out of home. This is an out-of-home entertainment. Although you have it in the home, it's not an in-home entertainment. It's not a collectible. It is capital goods for somebody to make a living with. So I'm going to ask you to help pinball. Go out, drink a little bit. Careful, don't drive, drink and drive. Play our games out of home and support the operator and ask the operator to buy some games and put them. I thank you for the nod back there. I thank you all very much for tonight. I thank you very, very much for the last 20 years and the years before that. And I leave you, besides thank you, with live in the sedan. I think sand. Nice meal tonight. Life is good. And we can only thank whoever we thank for that. I thank you all for it. Thank you.